How many have started a diet recently? Anybody with me? I started a diet when I got home from Florida. Okay. Nobody's telling the truth. And a diet is something else. You just say, it brings out and you start it and it's no soda. There's 5 P's there. And you say, okay, you can't have soda anymore. So he takes 1 P away. And then there's no chocolate. Isn't it terrible? All the stuff that tastes good is bad for you, makes you fat, and all the stuff that tastes terrible is good for you and keeps you skinny. It's just not fair. And then it says no fat food, and you take another one away. And then it just says no fun. I like that one too. You just got one left. And then it says eat frequently, but small portions. And you just say, what's the use? You know, there's nothing left. A good diet there. Also a diet, you know, in starting a diet. Listen to look at this one. This is so cool. It says, I've been starting a diet Monday morning for about 3 years straight now. Put up the next one there. It's pretty cool. It's a good one too. It says, I'm planning on starting a diet tomorrow, so I better eat everything possible I can today. Oh, come on. That was a good line. That was a good line. When we start a diet, we have to start at the bottom and build up. We have to start and lay the foundation and say, I need to diet. You know, if I don't diet, I'm going to weigh 300 pounds and I won't live to see my grandchildren get married and I'll be pain all my life. So that gives me energy. Is that right? Gives me the drive. Gives me the purpose. And then I got to get some knowledge. I got to get some knowledge of my diet plan. You know, I can't eat chocolate and I can't eat this. My plan is just real simple. Eat less. Exercise more. That's my plan, okay? And you got to get a knowledge of a plan. And then the third level is the hardest. It's called self-discipline. How many of you like it? Hate it every minute, you know. It's terrible. Well, I can't have that, you know. I was at the Thanksgiving feast last week, and there was candy all over the place and desserts all over the place. And I sat there and just look. It's one thing I don't have the quality of self-discipline. I have to worry. If I'm self-disciplined, I'm filled with the Spirit. Is that right, Riley? And then after you get some self-discipline, you got to endure. The fourth step is to endurance. You got to keep at it. Is that right? Keep at it. I have a picture in my bathroom, and Dr. Phil is there pointing his finger, and he says, "You're fat." Okay, you know that helps. It helps, and I gotta have some endurance. I can't endure. And then the fifth step is to you start doing it. Is that right? You start doing it. The first week is great, isn't it? You know, my rule is you only eat one portion, and then you don't have seconds, and then you eat nothing after 6 o'clock. Is that right? It's a terrible rule, but you can do it for a while. For the first week, I lost a pound a day. But for the last 3 weeks, I haven't lost any weight. Okay. And if I get my diet going with, man, I got this energy and I got to do it. I know why I'm doing it and I know how to do it. And then I got self-discipline. And then I get endurance. I start doing it. And then I get doing it. And it's becoming a part of my life. Do you know you can diet the rest of your life? I know some of you have done it. You know, you're not fat. You make it. Okay? And then you can start helping others diet. Is that right? You can start, you know, not there, preacher. Not there. And you can start helping others. But this is the foundation. This is the exact same way you grow in Christ. And Peter told us 7 steps, 7 foundations to build to get to godliness. And the last one is, it says, to add brotherly kindness and brotherly affection. And the last one is agape. Hold stands up. Agape. The highest form of love. This says, I will love my brother as myself. This one says, I will love my brother what? Better than myself. And that's the way we want to live. But it takes all seven. It takes the foundation and all seven parts to get to the place where we're walking with God. That's what Peter gave us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. He gave us a plan. When you think of Peter, what comes to your mind immediately? Talk to me. He what? He what?
Impulsive.
He is impulsive. He denied the Lord how many times? Three times. Did he say, "I will never, never, never"? Cock-a-doodle-doo. You know, he lost it. The Lord had to tell him one time, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Is that right? Peter. And Peter was always jumping and doing stuff. Peter was also the man that got out of the boat and walked on the water. All the rest of them still in the boat, huh? I like Peter. Now, did Peter start sinking? Did he lose it? Yes, he did. Did God help him get it back? Yes, he did. And on the day of Pentecost, who was the man preaching? Peter. And here we have Peter writing in his old life. And he's writing 2 Peter chapter 1 and tells you, this, I've stumbled and fell and struggled and backslid and done foolish things all of my life. I figured out how to live in victory for God. And I'm going to tell you seven steps to victorious living. Seven steps to continuous revival. We've been energized this week. We've come to church a lot this week. We've invited people. We've let our faith shine. We've grown in our faith. Amen? We've had a revival week. The devil doesn't want you to continue to have revival, huh? He wants you to be defeated, to be silenced, to mope around, to be worldly. And Peter says, let me give you seven growing, building qualities that you can have victorious Christian living. Tim, come and read it for us. 2 Peter, everybody there. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11.
The scripture reading is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And in your red pew Bibles, it would start on page 897 to 898. And if you want to stand out of respect for God's word, please. And then follow along as I read, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might know that be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, and add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For it is if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated.
Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. 2 Peter 1, verse 12. Look at it. I have I want y'all to look at this. This is going to be up most of the sermon. These are the seven steps. They're building blocks as portrayed with the picture. Starts the foundation of faith. Then you build these seven and keep building these sevens to build the whole wall. First one is virtue, knowledge, and you'll see. But these are the keys. And if you do these things, it says you will never what? Fall. had a man to say, "Preacher, you telling me that if I work at doing these seven things, asking the Holy Spirit to help me and put them to practice in my life, and when I notice one slipping, that I go back and build it again and keep at these seven things in my life, that I will learn to walk with God in joy and peace and victory?" And the answer is, yes. You mean if I could get my diet program and have somebody to coach me every day and give me this and know why and get to this level and get to this level and start losing weight and then teach a class on losing weight, I could do it? Yes. But it's hard. Walking with God's hard too. Peter realized, this is how you find joy and victory and purpose and meaning in life, right here. And he wrote it. And it's great. Let's start with verse 12. Verse 12, let's look at it. I have it on your paper. I want everybody to look at your paper. Look at your paper. I've put about 4 weeks of work into this paper. And it's heavy paper. On your front page, on the front page, right down at the bottom, right before the box, verse 12, look at it. We're going to go backwards. Most of my preaching is backwards, so I'm going to start at the end of the text and go to the front. Verse 12, it says, "Therefore I intend always to remind you of these seven qualities, though you know them," we already know them, "and are established in the truth that you have." You know them, you're walking in them. "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder." That's the job of me, your preacher, for 37 years. Is that right? I think it's good that I stir you up again. I'm going to keep stirring you up. Pastor Kyle's going to stir you up. That's why we're here. And do we need stirred up all the time? Yes. You know, I need stirred up with my weight loss. When you see me skinny, then understand that, if you ever do. But I want you to see yourself growing in Christ and begin. Okay, I got to keep doing it. Let's go to verse 10. Verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent." I put that in brown just to hit you. Be all the more. It's going to take work. When it comes to sin in your flesh, you are at war. Is that right? We're at war. There's things I don't want to do that I end up what? Doing. We're going to hit Romans 6. You know, why? Why? We're at war here. Be diligently. You're going to have to give all your life to get to this place where you're blessing your brother as yourself, and then to get to agape, where you're loving your brother better than yourself and loving God and enjoying God and having fellowship with God, because you're in at the love stage, the total selfless stage. But how do you get there? You got to start with the first one and go all the way up. You got to start with the first one and go all the way up. Look at it, says verse 10, it says, "Be all the more diligent to confirm, to prove, to let it be seen, your calling." Jesus called you to be saved, your election. He chose you to be saved. He wants you to show it, show it. He saved you, now let it show. "For if," catch these verses, it's a great verse, "for if you practice these seven qualities, you will never fail. You will never stop growing. You will have joy. If you do these seven things, you shall never fail." Is that what it says? I want you to catch it today. "Preacher, I need to be at these seven things." That's what I want you to have. I got to be at these seven things. And then it says, "For in this way," Peter's seven steps to spiritual growth or maturity, "there will be richly provided for you," amazing grace, "an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You're going to have a rejoicing time entering heaven because you walked with God. I don't want to leave those, because those are powerful. Verse 10 is so powerful. "If you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Did Peter know a lot about falling? Yeah, he did. He messed up many times. Verse 8, look at it. Says same thing. "For if these seven qualities are yours," that they're your way of life, they who you are, they're living through and out of you, and are increasing. I want you to know that you'll increase in this. You only have one wall here, but you'll build another form and another form, and pretty soon your wall is huge and it's built on this. In some areas you'll only be at this level, in some areas you're only at this level, in some areas you're at this level. You'll be that. Is that true in your life? There is. Your prayer life, your Bible reading life, your witness life, your helping others, your concern for hard people. You know, and it says, we want these to become you and increasing. So it's a process, it's a progress, it's work, it's a war, it's a fight going on. Win it. They keep you. Catch this. Verse 8, let's look at it again. For if these qualities are yours, they become a way of life to you and are increasing. You're getting victory every day. They keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll have victory. Look at the next verse, verse 9. For whoever lacks these seven qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed. Is this person saved? Yes, catch that. He was. You are saved. You have forgotten that you was cleansed from your former sins. You've backslidden. You've cooled down. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your passion. You're losing the war. You're sidetracked. If you do these seven things, you will never fall. You believe that? That's why I love preaching this text. I've preached this last 2, 3, 4 months to many individuals. But I got to keep putting it in my life because this is the plan of growth for God. And it is amazing. Then look at love is the top here. That we're going to go into that. The love is agape. And it is God's kind of love. That is in verse 7. It's God's kind of love. It's selflessness, total devotion to God. Everything you do is God's stuff. Whether you play, whether you go work, whether you go business, everything's God. On vacation, can you take God with you on vacation? Yeah. Can you take God with you when you're playing sports? You better. And can you take God when you are doing your hobbies? Can you take God when you're shoveling snow? No. That's a joke. God's supposed to dominate your life. And you're supposed to be at level 7 where you are loving others better than yourself. And that's hard. Is it pretty natural to love people as yourself? No. But to get that place. And the sixth level is brotherly kindness. You are starting to help other people as yourself. It's not better, it's as. And you're starting to be kind and starting to be affectionate and all of that. Godliness, number 5, is where it becomes part of you and godliness. Notice between 6 and 7 are outside of you. 6 and 7 is you become godly, number 5, and then it's in you. And number 6 and 7 is out of you to others. Huh? You see that? And it's very important. And then the fourth step is perseverance, self-control, endurance, patience. Do people grate you sometimes? This is outside. You're trying to walk with God and you got to get along with this person, or this person's a hypocrite, and you're having all these. You got to have patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, self-control. It is something there. And then it says knowledge. Knowledge is where you're gathering Bible truth and virtue. I want to spend some time there with virtue this morning. But these are the things that you build on them. First is virtue. virtue, then knowledge, get in the Bible, then they get into self-control, get the Bible into you and start resisting some evil, and then get to God, to perseverance, you're starting to endure, you're starting to get some conviction, some victory, and then godliness, it's becoming the way you live. You're starting to have some holiness as a habit. And then it starts flowing out of you to brotherly love, and then to loving God and others better than yourself. That's the highest. That's hard. But if you do these seven things, you shall never fall. Let's go to verse 1. Verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant, a voluntary slave. I hope that way you figured to God. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Is that right? And it says, an apostle of Jesus Christ to those who have obtained, you're saved, a faith of equal standing with ours. You're saved just as good as Peter. Do you believe that? You're on your way to heaven just as good as Paul and Peter and all of them. It's only one salvation. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, that's how you get saved. He takes your sin and gives you His righteousness. And then verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sitting there going, wow, that's the way we want to live. We get this knowledge and we believe it, we live by it, we rest upon it, and it just blesses our life with grace and peace. Verse 3, I want everybody to look at verse 3. His divine nature, here it comes, this is great, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that saying that you as a believer, with the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Bible being written for you, you have everything you need to live a godly life? Is that what it says? You have everything. The power of God, it's given you everything you need to live the godly life. Now do it! And then Peter's going to give you, I'm going to give you seven qualities to do it by. Get at it! Get at it! He says, God's already given you this in the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. His way, His will, His Word. His divine power. I just love it. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. It's not me. His divine power has granted, it's yours, to us all things in the Holy Spirit that pertains to true life, to true joy and peace and purpose and meaningfulness and value and godliness. That's doing right. Through the knowledge, always through knowledge, power through knowledge of Him who called us to His glory and excellence, to His strength, to His goodness, that He's good and He's glorious and He's excellent, and we've been called to His things and to be like Him. Verse 4, by which refers back to His glory and excellence, He has granted, He uses that word again in verse 3, and here He's using it in verse 4, you've got it. He's trying to convince you, you've got it. Which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. Is that right? The Word of God. Is it precious? I trust it's precious. It's the Word of God. If we would just live by it and let it get in our lives and identify it and internalize it and externalize it, we'll have joy and peace and purpose and thrill because it's the Word of God. It's the truth of God. You've got it all. You've got the Holy Spirit in you, divine power, and then His divine promises. Look at the second part of verse 4. So that through them refers back to the promises, through them, through the Bible, through the promises of God, through the Scriptures, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Everybody say, wow. That's what it says. Look at our paper up here. I don't know if you can read it here. It's written pretty wildly. Everything we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited in us. Think that through. That rendition. That's powerful. You got it. Why don't you use it? You got it. You got it. I can't do my diet plan. It's just not in me. I work at it and I try, but I fail all the time. With the spiritual plan here, Peter's seven qualities, you have it. You have everything that through, verse 4, second part of verse 4, so that through them you may become, it's a process, you may become partakers, one with the divine nature, to have God working through you and flowing through you to godliness. Having escaped, there's a war going on, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. Is there a war going on? There's a war. We're at war. We're at war with our flesh. We're at war with the world. And we have to battle that. Do you know if you're not battling, you're losing? If you're not resisting your flesh, you don't even know it, and your flesh is winning. You get mad all the time. You get frustrated all the time. You get even all the time. You get proud all the time, envious all the time, and you don't even know it's flesh coming out of you. We're at war! Wow. And we don't realize it. He says, folks, you have it all in you, and so that you can escape, you can have this partaker of the divine nature, that you can start walking and talking with God and living for God, and you don't have to live in your sinful desires. He's delivered you from that. You have all the power to do that. And then verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort. Has God graciously given us salvation full and free? Yes. Hope you know that. You can't save yourself. You can't be good enough to save yourself. You have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But once we get saved and you realize that God gives us the divine nature and that we can get victory over the stuff of the world and the flesh and the devil, he says, make every effort to win that war. Grab God and make every effort. Grab God, your faith, and add these seven steps to your faith, and you shall walk with God and grow in His grace and have joy and peace and fulfillment and meaning and value in your life. But it's work. Make every effort. Now, you don't save yourself, but you have to do some warring. Let's look at Romans. Everybody turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 20. These verses are mentioned right there. They're underlined right in that verse 4, into verse 4. Romans chapter 6, verse 22, 20 and 22, right in the midst of chapter 6. Paul says, folks, you're saved. Now, let me just tell you, since you're saved, there is a battle with sin in your life, but I want you to know you can win that battle. You can win. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. I trust you're there. It says, for when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. When you were unsaved, you did all sin. You didn't do anything counted righteousness for God because He's perfect. But what fruit were you getting at that time? What was the result of that? From the things of which you are now ashamed. You're a Christian now and you're ashamed how you used to live. For the end of those things before you were saved is death, misery. But now that you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God, you used to be slaves to sin, now you're slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, holiness, godliness. And the end there is eternal life. You have joy and peace and meaning. He says, that's what you got. Used to have misery and death. Now you got life and peace and joy. Come on. Chapter 7, verse 21. Look at chapter 7. Go over another chapter. If you've not read Romans 6, 7, and 8, you need to. Those are powerful, powerful chapters of growth in Christ. Chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand." Do you understand that? Every one of us should understand that. "Well, preacher, I haven't sinned for 50 years." Well, you need to look closer. You know, I want to do right. I really do. But sin, it lies close at hand. Verse 21, chapter 7, verse 22. "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." That's the Spirit of God in you. "But I see in my members another law waging war." There it is. There is a knocking. There is, I want to do right. I'm a Christian. But there is sin in me waging war. And I need to realize, I need to identify it. I need to internalize it, and I need to externalize it and fight the fight. "I see another law waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwelleth in my members. Wretched man that I am, I lose all the time. How can I win? Who will deliver me from this body of death, this misery, this war?" Then it says, "Thanks be to God. Victory is through Jesus." Is that right? Jesus can do it. Oh, wow. Jesus can do it. Yeah, I'm going to have this war. I'm going to have to fight with Him, fight for Him, fight under His strength, His power, His word. Doing the seven steps here of Peter. And it says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" Verse 25, "Thanks be to God, victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." I just need to know that if I let my sin fly, my flesh fly, it'll sin. Is that right? Pride, jealousy, envy, lust, it'll happen. I'm guilty, you're guilty. But if I would just realize I don't have to sin and I'm in the Spirit, I can be in the Spirit, I could have victory. That's 6, 7, and 8. Romans, you got to read it. Chapter 8, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 5. Here's the victory. Here's the victory. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." Verse 6. "For to set the mind on the flesh is death," is misery, terrible, guilt. "But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Don't go for the flesh. Go for the Spirit. Fight the fight. Resist the flesh. Flee the flesh. Run from the flesh. Deny the flesh. Fight the flesh in the power of the Spirit and the Word of God. And you'll have life and peace and joy. Verse 11. Chapter 8, verse 11. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you," you're saved, you got God in you. "He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give," what's say? "Life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." It's not you. You can't do it. But if you've got Jesus in you and the power of the Holy Spirit in you, He will work it through you. He will help you with these seven qualities. And He will give you life. He will do it. He will help you. Verse 12. "So then, brothers, we are debtors." We are obligated. We're not ruled by the flesh anymore. We don't feel grateful to the flesh or we don't have to obey it. It has no claims on our lives. "We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh." We don't have to live there anymore. We're saved with the Holy Spirit. "For if you live according to the flesh, you will die." Misery, wretchedness, guilt. "But if," here it is. "But if by the Spirit," you're debtors to the Spirit, "you put to death the deeds of the body, you will," what? "Live." You will live. You will live. This morning, I'm only giving you half. You got to read the backside and everything. I just wanted you to catch the first one, and I'm going to close. Virtue. Look at virtue. Virtue is the hardest one. If you flip on the back of the page, I have step number one. I have a lot written about virtue. There are some good men that believe that these seven are not in order. I happen to believe they are in order. There are some good men that the word virtue just means excellence, and some people just means goodness, and the first step would just be, or they wouldn't be order, so you could put them in all different order. I saw one commentary that they put knowledge first and virtue second. But I see virtue, I've looked at it and studied it. I believe virtue is the energy. Virtue, if you look up the word energy is in there, the courage, the power. It says God has excellence, His glory and excellence, His goodness, His perfectionness. And it says, add first to your faith perfectionness, excellence, courage, energy, power. Do I have that in myself? No. I believe this first step is getting on your knees, probably can't get up, and getting on your knees and begging heaven to empower your life. Every morning I get up and say, God, help me! Help me! Help me! I'm weak! I won't make it today! My flesh is wretched. I'll sin every time. I'll start lust. I'll start having prideful thoughts, jealous thoughts, hateful thoughts. I'm a mess. God, help me. Help me. Help me. I can't have excellence. And the first thing I need is excellence. And you're the excellent one. And you set the standard. And I need you. God, help me. I need your power. Help me. Help me. That's step number one. If you go to that step every day and start there and go up the ladder, you'll know God. And I'm convinced, I got to get up here. I don't know if I can. You got to want God bad. You got to know there's a war going on. How bad do you hate your sin? You ever hate your sin? You don't plan to lie and you do, huh? And you don't want to lust and you do. You don't want to have pride and you do. You don't want to have jealousy and you do. You don't want to speak that evil thing and you do. You lose your temper and you didn't mean to. Is that right? Does it happen pretty quick? It does. And he says, the first thing, you're saved. You're saved. You got the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to get working on these seven steps. And the first step is virtue. That's the excellence that you got to lay. God, I need your power. I need your courage. I don't have it. You got it. And I need you to give it to me. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. And that's the first step. I think the second steps and the rest of them are very easy. This is just, you got to open your Bible and start reading knowledge. Is that right? If you don't read your Bible every day, you're never going to have victory. And so, God, help me, help me, help me. And you open your Bible and start reading. You see something and you need to obey. And then you realize there's self-control. I need to stop doing this. I need to start doing that. God, help me. I'm prideful. I'm angry. I'm bitter. God, help me. Help me. Self-control. And then once you get self-control, there's endurance. There's patience. There's steadfastness. You got to get it going. You just start getting it. Then you get it going. And then it turns into godliness. It's a habit. It's a habit. You start getting victory over cussing. You start getting victory over lust. You start getting victory over pride and anger. Do you get there? Hope you get there. Hope you can think right now. I used to do this and I don't. Huh? I hope you have a good list there. I used to cuss and I don't. I used to have evil thoughts, hateful thoughts, jealous thoughts. I used to have bitterness. It would just get me. Anger would just tear me apart. I've gotten victory over that. And you get to victory by begging for it, getting in the Word, starting self-control, self-discipline, seeing that you have to have endurance and patience, keep up whether you feel like it or not. Then it starts starts being godly. Then you start realizing, I haven't cussed for 2 days. Then I haven't cussed for 2 weeks. Huh? You get victory, victory, victory. And then when somebody else cusses, you can help them not to cuss. Is that right? You can love them as you love yourself. And then finally, you can get to a place where you can love people better than yourself. Now, this is hard to get here and stay there. Usually, you tear all the way down, don't you? You go up and down right in here. Is that right? You go up and down. That's why you got to get beg God, but God, help me. I can't. Get in your Bible. Get some self-control. Get some endurance. Get some practice, some holiness. Give it away to people, and then it becomes who you are. You can love better. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. God wants to work it in through you. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because you can't do it. But it is God that worketh in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. All I know is the 7 steps starts with God. I can't, you must. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do nothing without His strength. And to get to excellence, I can't get there. God, I need your excellence. I need your courage. I need your power. I need your energy. God, I can't get there. And then get in the Bible. We're going to do that tonight. Tonight we're going to apply all of the rest of the things. We're going to go through Philippians chapter 4. If you'll read Philippians chapter 4 this afternoon and come tonight, we're going to put it all in these 7 steps. Preacher, I need continuous joy and victory and serving God, the peace of God, the revival of God, the fire of God. I get fired out. I cool off. I backslide. I lose the thrill of being saved. I forget it all sometimes, but I'm still saved. I don't lose salvation, but I need revival every day, and I need these 7 things because Peter figured out how to walk with God. Preacher, I needed this message this morning. Could I raise your hand? Can I see you? I need it. I've been preaching at it with me for 4 weeks. Do you want to have joy and victory and peace and contentment and purpose and meaningfulness? This is the way. Or you just want the war? You just want the flesh, the guilt and the non-fulfillment of all of that? If you live in the flesh, you'll be miserable because you're a Christian. But oh, to fight to live in the Spirit is wonderful. And this is the way, the 7 steps to victory. And they're every day. And every time you fall, go back to 1 and come back up the list. Preacher, pray for me that I have continuous Bible, that I get on this path to victory. Pray for me. Can I see your hand? Pray for me. I want that. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, preacher, I don't know any of this. I don't have any joy and peace. I just wonder if I'm going to hell, and I don't need to go to hell. Pray for me. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're going to heaven, I'd love to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Can I pray for you? I just love to pray for you. Love to pray for you. Lord Jesus, help us each to figure out this simple plan of daily walking and growing in Christ likeness and holiness and joy and peace. Lord, we need you, and we have you. In Jesus' name, amen.